everybody. I'm Dr. Deb, and welcome to another episode of PTSD and Beyond. Welcome to the PTSD and Beyond podcast, where we give you insights into post-traumatic stress, trauma recovery, healing, and beyond. I'm Dr. Deb Lind, and in each episode, I have a conversation with a guest who will stimulate your mind, touch your heart, and connect with your spirit, and also give you a greater understanding of yourself and others on this healing and recovery journey walked by so many of us before, wounded healers with lived experience and heroes. Hopefully, we'll also provide a glimpse into possibilities and purpose, hope, and inspiration. Thanks for listening and enjoy the podcast. One last thing, guys, before we dive into today's episode, if you'd like an ad-free experience and like early access to new episodes and special events, I want to let you know you can join us at patreon.com. That is patreon.com/PTSD and beyond. All right, let's do it. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond. Today's guest is a combat veteran who specialized in helping people caught in a life of chronic pain. What's really interesting about the conversation that you're going to hear today is deeper level of awareness on connecting ancient wisdom. So things around a variety of cultures, but that have been around for centuries. And how we can harness that wisdom and apply it to relieving and the relief of chronic pain, both physically and emotionally, and to heal through our spirit. And especially, how do we identify what does it mean to be heart-centered and heart-based, as well as following the Taoist principles of inviting flow and inviting energy from where we have blocks of energy, especially in our body, and where we hold that chronic pain. So enjoy today's episode with Joshua Cameron. All right, you guys, let's do it. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond. We got another amazing guest, of course. But this one's even more, I know, right? Even more special because they're going to talk about the space of silence. And then also the Qing healing system. Guys, let's give a heartfelt welcome to Joshua Cameron. Joshua, welcome to PTSD and Beyond.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited to be here. And when we first connected, I felt something special, right? I love what you do. I love that you're passionate about bringing, healing to people who probably feel like they're stuck in a dark room and don't know how to get out.
Well, I appreciate that. One of the things that really resonated with me when we talked was your openness to blend what I would call sage and ancient wisdom into practice that's practical for people to say, you know what? I can see myself trying that. I can see myself trying that. So why don't you talk with us a little bit about who you are and how you started this journey?
Just like anybody, right? I likely started just like anybody else by following, the events of my childhood, right? We get thrown into life. We don't get to choose. Let me take a step back, actually. So physically, we don't get to choose, but spiritually, I've come to the model of the world that I do choose. And this was something that was hard for me to wrap my brain around because raised in Utah, which is where I am now, I was raised as a secular kid and being raised around a bunch of LDS, Mormons, they have this idea that their spirits are up in heaven and they're looking down saying, hey, that's the family I'm going to be born to, that they're actually choosing their family or choosing, what experiences they're going to have. And for a long time, I was like, oh, look at these silly people. Oh, that's so, what a silly idea. Because I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready for my awareness to be expanded at that point. But once I started playing with that idea, I realized, there is no more psychologically strong way to look at the world. I mean, think about it. I was raised in in a household. My father divorced my my mother when I was about two. When she remarried as a as a very young child, she remarried to somebody who had his own PTSD. It was aggravated far beyond reason through alcohol. She kind of lost herself in alcohol, so wasn't really there as a parental figure to protect us. So we had this tyrannical, angry, rage monster as a stepfather that had no problem, showing us with his fists just how much he disagreed with us saying that we vacuumed when we didn't actually vacuum and we get beat for it. So little things. And I realized, so if I chose this path, why would I choose this path? Well, one, let's take a step back and say, where did I go? Right. Because as a kid, I can't fight for myself. So where did I go to escape? Mm. Well, I escaped in books. I escaped in my imagination. What is it? Einstein said that the mark of intelligence is not raw intellect. It's imagination. And why would that be? Well, because the brain doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality. And so I'm creating these neural pathways as if, one, magic is real. And two, I didn't know what it was to have these friendships of like these epic friendships where somebody's going to go and they're going to risk their lives to protect you, that they're going to, be that person for you that you can lean on, that you can, be the confidant for you. And so I'm building these neural pathways as if I actually have them by building these relationships in these books. And so why did I choose the path? So I would choose the path that would actually lead me to where I am now. So when I was ready to open my awareness, I had reference points already in the path and think, that makes sense.
I like what you're saying here, because there's a couple things that stand out. One is that we can use the mind as a way to help protect us and not to disassociate. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, actually to protect ourselves with the, I don't say refusal of accepting the negativity, but there's another layer of awareness of, I know that I'm different and I know that I don't have to accept that reality as my fate, that my reality is my reality and my life is my life. And there's some sort of innate quality, even when we're children, that we can distinguish between that's a parent. I can be different and I am different, and we can use our imagination, by creating different pathways so that when we are an adult, then we find ourselves, common phrases, we find ourselves coming home. It's a homecoming because it's familiar and it brings a deeper level of awareness about what our purpose is. So if we integrate, like Viktor Frankl, into this story here in our conversation. So what was there one particular awareness moment that you had, or were there a series of awareness moments that you said, I'm starting to shape a deeper level of understanding? Was there one particular thing that led to that experience for you?
That's such a good question. So the awareness moment couldn't have happened, or at least couldn't have been explored to the degree that I was able to explore it without all the previous reference points. Mm-hmm. So the previous reference points were completely necessary, even though I wasn't quite ready to see, right, the whole picture, right? Like the Oracle in the Matrix says that nobody can see past a decision they don't understand. That included her. And so I started, I was a big fan of Joe Rogan. Still am. I don't watch it as much because, I'm just busy. And so 3 or 4 hours on a single podcast is really hard to give my time to. But he had Sadhguru. I don't know if you're familiar with Sadhguru.
No, I'm not.
So he had him on. And here's this Indian mystic, dressed in these robes, who looks nothing like me, sounds nothing like me. And yet there's something that he's saying that's resonating within me, resonating at a deep part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And so I started listening to his book on Inner Engineering. And this entire time he's talking about how life is about experience, isn't it? And I started thinking, started playing with these ideas, like, that makes so much sense. I mean, how often have I been in a place where some idea, right? coming back to, you know, my childhood with the LDS, right? That sounds silly. Well, I fold my arms. That sounds like a silly idea. Fold my arms and I decide I don't like it. The same way a child would say, I don't like those vegetables. And the parent frustrated saying, you've never even tried them. How do you know? Mm-hmm. Well, if life is about experience, that's right. How do I know? And there is a fun anecdote that I like to rely on where, as I understand, Niels Bohr, are you familiar with who Niels Bohr is?
Yes.
So his son, I guess, is, you know, getting a little befuddled and a little frustrated with, you know, quantum mechanics. And he's writing to his dad. And Niels said, you're not thinking, you're only being logical. It's like, powerful. And so I found myself in a place where I was only being logical. So if it didn't fit my logical paradigm, therefore it had no value. And what a shallow place to live, because most things do not fit a logical paradigm.
Yeah, you know, I really appreciate our conversation. And I'm excited because when we did our meet and greet, we talked about Star Trek.
Ah, yes.
And totally dig the Matrix reference, okay? And I'm laughing because how many times in Star Trek did the character Data, you know, Brent Spiner, the actor, want to have the human chip of emotion? And then once, you know, Data had the human chip of emotion, he became overwhelmed and he couldn't handle it. And he kept trying to figure out, like, how do human beings actually do it? Dr. Bernie Siegel also talks about think less, feel more. When you have a challenge and you're trying to come up with an answer of some sort, you know, a solution to a problem, stop thinking, start feeling. So with your healing journey and then also creating a space for quieting the mind, where did the pause come to think and the go button, if you will, to feel manifest?
Again, such a great question. So Sadhguru started me on that journey. And, you know, he had told me, it was a podcast or just a monologue of his on his YouTube channel, where he was talking about he went to Devil's Tower. And for those who don't know, Devil's Tower is in Wyoming, right next to South Dakota. It's the very first U.S. national monument ever created by Teddy Roosevelt. And so Teddy, somebody who I admire, I love his ability to just be very to the point. He's not trying to necessarily play politics while still playing politics. And I admire that somebody who can do that so eloquently. And Sadhguru said that Devil's Tower has more throat chakra energy than he's ever felt in his life. And I didn't really know what that meant at the time because, you know, chakras were a little foreign to me. I mean, am I supposed to be saying namaste now every you know, other word, you know, because I'm right. And so I decided, you know what, this guy, I love his book. I love what he's saying. I love everything that he says. And now he's given me this advice. And I've come to this idea that, you know, advice is from people who are actually where you want to be and can tell you in a meaningful way in order to get there. And opinion is everything else.
Yes.
And so here's this guy telling me advice. And, you know, I'm pretty good with my words. You know, I've got multiple letters to the editor and, you know, opinion editorials published in my two largest newspapers here in Utah. So I've shown that I have this ability to communicate. So throat chakra sounds like it might help my ability to communicate. So, okay, well, it sounds like it's game on for me. And I decided that, so it's a 9-hour drive from where I live. I decided that even if I get nothing out of it, just the fact that I can drive 9 hours there and 9 hours back and give myself permission to go on a spiritual sojourn may actually be the greatest gift that I can get. But when I got there, wow, I never really meditated before other than trying to put myself to sleep. But I sat down on this rock that invited me to sit down there. Probably looked like a crazy person because I was wearing a Batman scarf, wearing my awesome hat. And then as I sit down, almost immediately, I got so flooded with, you know, with overwhelming emotions of joy. So like Brent Spiner, right? And then I just started crying because what I couldn't process it. So I just started leaking out of tears because it was just leaking out of everything.
Yeah.
And I, as my thoughts were crescendoing, the wind was picking up. And as my thoughts were mellowing out, the wind was settling down. And I was so in tune with my environment. And so that taught me, okay, so magic is real because there's something there that I connected to. I don't know necessarily what that was. Yeah. Well, that led me to my mentor, Peter Sage, and you know, who wrote the Inside Track, you know, book behind my right shoulder. And or I guess left shoulder. His was all about consciousness, awareness, the idea that reality is subject to influence, mm-hmm. you know, and he was also talking about meditation. Okay, well, now I've got two people who I admire who are giving me advice, not opinion, advice on the benefits of meditating. Mm-hmm. And then that eventually led me to my healing master who taught me how to heal. And his whole thing is you feel, like you said, feel less or think less, feel more. Feeling is 100% where it's at, right? He says the powerful will feel in their heart 99% mm-hmm. and visualize in their mind 1%. And the most powerful will be 99.9% in the heart, 0.1% in the mind. Mm-hmm. Because when we feel ourselves there, well, now we're taking control of the brain, mind-body connection. And even though the brain is what creates the hormones, mm-hmm. well, the hormones tell the brain how to think. And right. if we can put ourselves in a space of healing, well, and a space of feeling something great, well, now we're actually communicating to the brain that it is safe.
Yep.
When we close our eyes, when people aren't ready to close their eyes and meditate, well, the mind is a defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. And so people aren't ready to close their eyes and quiet the mind because they don't feel safe.
Yeah.
So if you can put yourself in that space of just ultimate love, yep. right? You can't, if you have a mom that you love more than anything in the world and she's giving you a hug, there's no space where you feel unsafe there. Right. You just feel more safe than safe. And learning to tap into that and by trusting people, right? Mentors are there for a reason because the best of our abilities have got us to where we are today, mm-hmm. which is why we need mentors because okay. they're where we want to get to and they have a meaningful way to be able to help us get there.
Beautiful way to say that. I know that there are people who are probably wondering right now, well, how do I get a mentor and how can I feel, safe with closing my eyes or even, sitting in a restaurant and maybe having my back to the exit sign. That's a real common thing that people will say. I want to feel safe. I scope everything out. I'd love to have somebody else not necessarily an influencer, but somebody else that I feel comfortable with, that what they say, it comes from lived experience and not opinion. When actually working, I want to go back to what you said about sitting on the rock and being invited to sit there and then being aware of the shifting of, the winds, for example. With the development of healing, do you find yourself becoming more aware of that connection with nature and even other things? And I say that because when I go shopping, especially today, little kids, I mean, they're always doing like the pick me up kind of thing. And then I usually respond to like the parent that it's either my hair color, like, how many people do they see like this? Or they must sense that I'm a mom too. I get it. But I find it fascinating on how we become more, I want to say receptive, but there's a deeper level of awareness of what's really going on, like the shifting of the winds or maybe the aroma of like the lilac bushes. Did you find yourself experiencing similar things as you continued on your healing journey?
I did. And it really stemmed from my intuition. And intuition is hard to really tap into if you are suffering from trauma or PTSD because, right, your mind's always active and intuition yeah. comes from the heart. And the mind is meant to be an antenna. The problem with the brilliance of the mind is it convinces itself of its own brilliance. Mm-hmm. And therein lies the quandary that we get in.
Mm-hmm. And, like the ego, especially.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is I think a lot of people have, and even people who, are looking to transcend, I think that they have a misrepresentation of what the ego really is. The ego is trying to be our friend. The ego is simply afraid that we could get hurt, right? The yeah. ego is there in order to make sure that there are not dangers. There's not a tiger in the bushes, that there's not that shadow isn't some sort of serial killer coming out to get us or something. Or even if we're at a restaurant and we're suffering from PTSD, that we have to have our back against the wall because God forbid somebody walk up behind us.
Right, correct. Right? Yep.
And so a lot of people want to destroy their ego. But if we're our ego is a part of us. And if we're destroying a part of us, well, then aren't we only a partial person at that point?
Right.
And so having the ability to integrate the ego as a friend and understand that when the ego is whispering these dangers, hey, you know what? This is just a friend of mine that's trying to give me, you know, some sort of cautionary tale of, hey, this could happen. Hey, you know what? Noted. Thank you. I appreciate what you're trying to tell me, but you know, I can make myself safe. Yeah. I don't need to listen to that. And you know, once I was able to realize that and quiet my intuition, I was able to tap into a lot of things that had been a driving force for me, but in a bad way. For instance, you know, raised by, you know, rage maniacs. Well, you know, what did I attune to? Well, I attuned to werewolves. I attuned to like the Howling movies, right? These movies where, you know, where people are like melting into the ground and ripping off their flesh and just in such excruciating pain because they're cursed and they're turning into this rage monster. And so I've got a, you know, big old werewolf tattoo on my right shoulder. And I started thinking to myself, well, you know what? If I'm a healer, that seems strange that I have this cursed, you know, this cursed being, you know, as a tattoo. How do I harmonize this? Right. And so I didn't come from a place of judgment. How do I harmonize this with from, you know, a place of who I am? And I was in deep meditation as this thought was occurring to me. And immediately what the thought that occurred to me after that, which, you know, may sound silly to some people, but I got this sense that I should go down to the heart and center of Mother Earth, just like she was a person, and invite her to dance. Because dance is the music of the soul, right? You just kind of let go and you allow yourself. Mm-hmm. And so here I am dancing with her, listening to, you know, deep, you know, meditative music. And she revealed to me that how I harmonize the werewolf is by finding, well, what is the closest thing to a werewolf in nature? Well, what goes berserk when it's in a corner? What goes berserk when it feels like it's, when it's stuck and it has that survival mechanism? Well, a badger does. Well, that's interesting. What sort of reference points do I have to badgers? Oh, well, you know what? Growing up, I was a huge fan of the X-Men. And you know who my favorite X-Man was? The Wolverine. And so now if all these things are piecing together because I'm allowing, right? As above, so below, as below, so above. And so now I'm allowing this, you know, higher dimensional wisdom to come through me, through my intuition, through my heart, to then start harmonizing the things of my past instead of coming from a place of judgment, coming from a place of understanding and acceptance.
I love that, harmonizing, understanding, and acceptance. Why do you think it's so hard for people to, I mean, I can't say people in our community, you know, people that listen to this podcast, but people who do find us through somebody else though. I don't say they're toe dipping. They're curious to understand because it came from like somebody that they know. But why do you think it's so difficult for people to make that heart-based commitment to themselves?
We disallow it on a systemic way in our society. You know, if we take our education system, for instance, right? It was created for the Industrial Revolution. It was created for people to be compliant so that they could be good workers. And that's basically it. We haven't evolved it, you know, from that space. And if you're there to be compliant to other people, well, where is there room for you to listen and to surrender to yourself? Yeah. Right.
Isn't that, I agree with all that. It is so true. And I find this to be with kids too. You know, if you have a child who can't sit still, let's say they're in second grade and they can't sit still and they're teachers are telling you they can't sit still, I usually respond and say, give me an adult that can too. We're expecting a child to behave like a mature adult because it's easy, because we want control of the environment, or fill in the blank because of the system, as you mentioned, you know, the educational system. Where can a person begin with you? Talk about the Ching healing system. I love the name Ching. We have a cat by the name of Ching.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm a big nerd for the Tao Te Ching. It has helped me so much with understanding flow and allowing flow into my life. And if there's anything about the Tao Te Ching, it's completely removed from moralization, right? You know, moralizing, your moral reality only lives in the head of a human, right? There's no objective evidence to morality. And so understanding of coming from this place of judgment and just allowing flow to come through us. Well, first thing, again, if it comes to compliance, right, is how we're raised. Yeah. Well, then typically what happens is we are obeying somebody else. And so we know that obeying them isn't necessarily working out, but we don't really know how to do anything that we want to do. We only know what's not working, right? I don't want to be in pain. I don't want to have PTSD. This is what I don't want. Mm-hmm. So first thing with the C is clarity and concentration. So clarity on, well, what is it you do want?
Right.
Well, I don't know, Josh. Oh, exactly. I know that. I know you don't know, which is why we're here. And so let's get some clarity. Let's start with some exercises on quieting the mind so you can tune into your heart in order to start finding that clarity of what is it that you want, right? Chances are it's going to be very similar to what that little boy or little girl in your heart, you know, wanted when they were 7, 8, 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then concentrate, right? Concentrate's important because if we concentrate on what we don't want, well, guess what we're going to get more of?
Right.
Yeah. You know, a NASCAR driver, if he concentrates on the wall, which he doesn't want to crash into, inevitably we move towards our area of focus, which means he's going to crash into the wall.
Right.
And that's just how simple it is. Now, the H is about healing. Again, as above, so below, as below, so above, right? Let's give the body what it needs, right? Good food. No matter where you're eating your food, if you're eating a home-cooked meal, almost inevitably, almost 100% of the time, it's going to be more healthy for you than going to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be some drawbacks. Maybe there's, you know, still a lot of sugar. Maybe there's still a lot of things that, you know, that are a little upsetting to your internal system, but start there. Start where somebody loves you, mm-hmm. because love actually incorporates itself into the food.
Mm-hmm.
And so the energy that we're bringing in, right, start with a place of love. And even if it's just like, hey, I love to make this meal for myself, perfect, perfect. And then what are thoughts that I love, right? So the body, the mind, and the soul, what are thoughts, right, from below to above? Well, what are thoughts that I love? Not thoughts that I don't love, not thoughts that I want to get away from. What are thoughts that I love? And allow yourself to explore that and allow yourself to imagine what it would be like to have that as a reality. And then that'll open yourself up to the intuition to guide that spiritual path. So really, you know, treating the body as a friend,
yeah,
is probably the easiest first step that we can take in order to have some sort of spiritual enlightenment. And so I can get into all five if you want, but that's a really good place, I think, to really start to embark into this.
Why do you think that we don't allow ourselves? I want to take this to another sub level here. And what I mean by that, a sub thought is I started recognizing that there's this, first of all, that we don't allow ourselves. And there's many different reasons why, I think, but I want to get your opinions and wisdom on it. And then there's this other place, because we have a person in our community, Dr. Paul Wong, who has studied suffering for decades. Mm-hmm. And what I find that's interesting is that some people, not all people, but when you meet a person with where they're at some point, the question becomes, why are you not allowing yourself to experience love, joy, for example, friendships, mm-hmm. the space of serenity, the space of peace and calmness? And why is the suffering self-created?
Oh man, such great questions.
thank you.
So why is it not allowed?
Yeah, why is it not allowed?
Think about, you know, and I'm sure that you were raised in a very similar way of, you know, as you're growing up, like, oh, Deb, what are you going to be when you grow up? Right. And then you might get excited and you lighten up and say, oh, I want to be this. Then who you're looking up to, maybe it's your mom, maybe it's an older brother. And that, you know, they turn around and say, well, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? That's mm-hmm. not going to make money. That's not going to make you successful. And so we get these repeated occurrences happening throughout our lives, which then does what? Well, we start building this assessment that, you know, that we start holding on to what seems to be evidence of what? That we're stupid. So anytime that there would be an inkling of our intuition, Well, what happens? Well, the mind is going through its Rolodex, right? It's that database. It says, oh, this comes from within. Everything that's come from within, what I've got validation that is stupid. And so that's why I really think it's really no more difficult or complex than that. Now, we choose it because we choose to accept it, right? Yeah. Nobody can force us to accept an idea. Mm-hmm. And the second that we accept an idea for good or bad will effectively cast a spell on us.
Yeah.
And when that happens, right, for bad, well, then we're accepting somebody else's idea that we're stupid.
Yeah.
When it happens for good, we're accepting like, oh, I can trust in myself to actually find the awareness to tap into, you know, the wisdom of the cosmos or what have you in order to help guide me through, you know, this dark path.
Did you find too that when you going through the healing journey that there were, I'm dating myself back to philosophy class in undergraduate school. And I really enjoyed studying philosophy. You know, you're discovering things that you thought were true and you realize now that those are untruths and or things that I don't want to hold anymore. They're not things that represent who I am. And one of the practices that I have found helpful, and I do this, I just did a podcast episode on this the other day because I didn't even realize I was doing this practice, which was at the beginning of the month and the end of the month, and then several times throughout the year, evaluating and, you know, an evaluation of, is this what I want to hold anymore? How does this serve me? Does this help me? Does it not help me? If it doesn't help me, then where did I get it from? And let me give it back to that person then. And if it does help me, then let me give gratitude. Again, same process. Who did it come from? And thank you so much for giving it to me. And if it doesn't serve me well, then thank you so much for giving it to me. It's not mine to own. I'm going to give it back to you. Did you find yourself having similar experiences of this works well for me and I'm going to take it, and this doesn't work well for me? And how did you then release it and surrender?
Oh man, I love more
good questions.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, and I want to know because we're on a roll here, and it's like, how can we not cover this? Because somebody's thinking, well, what about the stuff that they're holding on to that they do want to release?
Well, so first, it's important to understand that, especially when somebody's dealing with trauma, right? There's really not a whole lot of room for somebody to be like, hey, I'm going to go thrive. I'm going to go dance in the rain, and I'm going to go, you know, spread my wings in this meadow of flowers, right? What usually happens is that we take a survival mechanism in order to allow us to just survive the day.
Yep.
And is that wrong? Well, no, because it allowed us to survive. It allowed us to reach that next place.
Right.
But here's the thing, coming back to, you know, the brilliance of Niels Bohr. He's got this incredible quote that the opposite of a correct statement is a false statement, but the opposite of a profound truth may well be another profound truth.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean that survival mechanism was bad. What it means is that it served its purpose.
Right.
And that now we can transcend and find something else, something that's not just surviving, because just simply in the act of surviving, you're not thriving.
Right.
And if thrival is what you're looking for and not just survival, mm-hmm. well, then you've got to examine, where do I have, what are my governing beliefs? Mm. Where am I dogmatic, right? And this is, N in the Qing method is non-negotiables. Where do I have these non-negotiables, right? There's people who are Christians, for instance, that say the Bible cannot be, is not meant to be interpreted. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You and I, Deb, we could be standing side by side watching the exact same thing in the exact same environment. We could even be wearing the same clothes if we wanted, which might be a little funny. But we're going to walk away with completely different experiences.
Yeah.
Because that's what the mind does. We've got, you know what, 7 billion people on the planet and 7 different billion experiences going on.
Right. And tell me that's not a big mass of energy right there. Yeah. You know what I mean? When people talk about energy, they're like, oh no, it's like, hey, have you ever gone to a hockey game? You ever walk into a stadium and you're like, oh, you can feel it? Or when your team is losing, tell me you can't. I mean, I'm just going to say it right now. The Red Sox are playing like crap right now. Tell me that I can't feel. Of course I can. But when they're on a hot streak, yes, of course you can.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be there. You can see it.
Yep.
You can see it.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily even have to be in sports, right? You can feel it in music.
Oh, you know, my gosh. Yes.
Why does some music just open your heart? And maybe, you know, it doesn't necessarily make you sad, but it can almost bring tears to your eyes because the emotion is so overwhelming that the body only has one way to express it, which is in a way that transcends words. That's right. Completely beyond words.
Oh, yeah. Music is something else. I think that musicians are like the muse of it, really, no matter what genre, no matter what year, you know, if you're, it doesn't matter. There's something really special about music and musicians. And yeah, I like to go see music. That's a good one to put out there. So I'm going to circle back on some events that you've got coming up. Talk with us about some things that you're doing right now.
Yes. Yeah. So I am hosting a digital summit called Cancel Chronic Pain. And while it's a little general, you know, chronic pain is usually, you know, whether it's PTSD, whether it's depression, whether it's autoimmune disorders, right? Whether it's arthritis. Well, what happens is, again, since we're raised to listen to authority, to be compliant, well, what happens when the doctor says, hey, sorry, there's nothing more that we can do?
Right.
Well, then we, you know, Bruce Lee, as I understand, had this famous line of saying, be careful how you talk to yourself because your body can't help but listen.
That's right.
And if your body can't help but listen and you listen to there's nothing more that we can do, well, guess what? Well, now you're installing the programming that then says that your body needs to keep breaking down and keep breaking down because there's nothing more that we can do other than perhaps not that all medications are bad, but many medications poison the body.
Yeah, right?
Because they're not there to treat the body holistically. They're there to treat the body as one small variable. And when you treat that variable, that throws another variable out of whack. They don't see that as a problem. They see that as success because they treated that variable. They
right,
don't really
correct.
Care about the downstream effects.
Yeah.
And so people who are looking to actually heal outside of their, you know, because again, pain in the mind and pain in the body, well, they stem from the same place. From trauma that we're holding on to, from emotions that we're holding on to, from blocks, right? Dogmatic blocks that we create. You know, going back to Christians again, you know, many Christians think, well, I'm just a wretch. I mean, it's in Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
You know, and so if I'm a wretch, well, then one, I'm already distancing myself from what I say that I believe in.
Yeah.
You know, and so then I have to put so much more energy into it. And if I have to put so much more energy into it, well, that's really putting a lot of pressure on this block that I'm holding on to. And the body's only got one form of communication, right? That's going to be emotions or what? Feelings. And, you know, let me ask you, is chronic pain something that you can feel?
Yeah. And eventually disease too, when it's harbored on a chronic for, you know, extended period of time. Yep. We'll have the link to your workshop in the show notes. So listeners that are here, and thank you so much for being here, listeners, in over 100 countries. And last month in May, we added a new country of Honduras.
Nice. So
thank you. I know, right? We don't have anybody from Greenland yet.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? It's like, how is this possible?
My son is half Salvadoran. And so Honduras is just
right. Is that right? Oh, my gosh. Well, there's a serendipitous connection.
Yep, for sure. And so this event that I'm throwing, I have 19 different experts from around the world. And every single one of them have come from their own background of having pain that they've had to deal with. Right. In my case, it was more mental, a little bit of physical, but much more mental, much more child abuse, much more PTSD. But what happens there is, again, now we have, you know, including myself, now we have 20 people that are coming from a place of advice, not from opinion. And so that way people can actually start listening to, hey, what resonates with me? What stands out to me? Let me lean into what resonates with me. And then it's really a matter of trial and error and just reaching out to these people and talking to them and finding out, hey, you know, because there's going to be free gifts from all the different speakers. And so that way they can start playing around, hey, what works with me?
I love that. You know, what I really appreciate what you're saying too is that this is from people with lived experience. And I believe that within our peer support community, that is one of the areas that makes us stronger, because while someone can talk about theory, someone can talk about clinical study, all of that can be invalidated based on lived experience, all of it. You don't know what's going to happen until you go out in the real world and you try something. What's three last nuggets you want to share with our listeners today, Joshua?
Ooh, three. Be kind to yourself, right? The second that you find yourself, and especially as an American, right, we fetishize the idea of, and I'm not sure about the other, you know, 99 countries around the world that tune into this, but especially as an American, as a Westerner, we fetishize the idea of being our own worst enemy.
Yeah.
There's a terrible place to come from because your own worst enemy does not have your best interests in mind. So the second that you start going down that route of, I'm so stupid, oh, I'm so dumb, or why did I do that? Well, stop and find whatever way, whether it's listening to a song, whether it's just, you know, some sort of mantra that you've got, to give yourself some sort of energetic hug and just, hey, you know what? I'm safe. It's okay, right? I failed because, you know, so I can learn. And that's okay. Find somebody who you like what they say, and they challenge your frame of reference. They challenge your model of the world. Doesn't mean that you need to agree with what they're saying. The point is to play with their how to think. Mm-hmm. Right? Neil deGrasse Tyson has this quote that those who know how to think are empowered far beyond those who know only what to think. Don't worry about somebody's logical conclusions, right? Because somebody can have an amazing process for how they got there, but you might disagree with their end conclusion. Mm-hmm. Follow their process and start to incorporate maybe some of the ways in which they process that might challenge your dogmatic beliefs in order to allow yourself, to give yourself permission to start questioning your core beliefs. And start to organize things around you. If you have clutter around your, you know, clutter in your house, you know, you don't necessarily put the dishes away right away. Find a way in which you can kind of lean into, you know, the idea of what was it Bob Proctor talked about, do it now. I think that was based off of Wallace Wattles, right? Mm-hmm. The Science of Becoming Rich. Do it now, right? Because what happens are, you know, as above, so below, as below, so above. Well, the clutter piling up is just a manifestation of the energy blocks.
Yeah.
And so if you start clearing those energy blocks, well, then it's going to go up to the next dimension, which is going to be your mind. Mm-hmm. And if there's less clutter, well, your mind's going to be much more free to be able to explore what it actually wants to explore. And so start with something small and tangible and then work from there.
I love that. Oh my gosh, it's so true about the clutter and the energy and the blockages. And then how many times do people say, you know, I mean, especially like in the house, for example, the north side is just, it's like, there's no light here. And yet the office just beams. And people will say similar things like, I can't believe I just did this. I cleaned up my kitchen and oh my gosh, it looks so much brighter. And you can feel it and you can sense it. So where can people find you?
Oh, awesome. And so you can find me at freemefrompains.com. And you can go ahead and set up a free consultation, right? It's a healing plan. If nothing else, right? Maybe it's not even right that we work together. But if nothing else, what we can do is we can talk, we can get some clarity and really help point you in a direction where you can get some resources in order to help you out.
Awesome. Well, guys, you know what? All of Joshua's information, like I said before, is in the show notes and hyperlinks. They're active. When you do connect, make sure you say, hey, I heard you at PTSD and Beyond, and I want to connect. Thank you so much for being with us today. Truly appreciate your amazing guest. Thank you for sharing your wisdom.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Deb. I love the space that you're holding. And hey, you know what? With our powers combined.
That's right. All right, guys, this is Dr. Deb with PTSD and Beyond. As always, remember, we're better together, we're stronger together, and take what resonates and go beyond.